even though I had to go to nursing, go to teaching, but I always knew that I'm an entertainer.
Welcome to another episode of Winning Woman, a podcast brought to you by City Press that celebrates women who have broken the glass ceiling in their respective fields and created a path for the next generation. This week, City Press multimedia journalist Palesa Dlamini sits down with renowned actress Connie Chiume to speak about her career in the entertainment industry that has spanned four decades. The seasoned actress has embodied characters on theater stages, TV screens, and international films. Here's how it all started.
During those days, you wouldn't dare say "mfuna ukuyocula" or "mfuna ukuyo-act." And the only thing that you could do at that time as a black person, because a lot of careers were not open for black people, the only thing that you could do that time was to either to teach, ube a nurse, ube a social worker, ube a umabhalani, you know, stuff like that. So there was no, we didn't have a broad choice of careers. So, and I think the reason I went to teaching mainly it was because during those days, in teaching, they used to pay us.
Okay.
And ekhaya, if they don't have money to take you to high school or to varsity, then you do anything knowing that I'm training, but at the same time, I'm also earning a little bit of something. Because we only went to school maybe once or twice a week. Okay. Then the rest of the times we're in the ward working. So that's why we're earning money. So I went to nursing because of that reason. Okay. There wasn't money to take me any further. So unfortunately, or fortunately, because I have a beautiful son, I fell pregnant. And during that time, there were laws. You know, I don't know whether it was a law or it's something that the hospital was just doing on their own. If you fell pregnant, they wouldn't take you back. So when I wanted to go back to go and finish, they didn't take me back. So that's why I ended up a Wilberforce teacher training in Everton. I was very fortunate to get there and find a principal called Umulope. I think it was about seven of us who had matric. Because PTC, the primary teacher's course, you would do it in HAC. I don't even know if you know HAC. There was junior certificate. After a primary, okay, you would go and do a form one, form two, form three. Okay. So a form three, maybe you HAC.
Okay.
Then after JC, there are certain little courses that you can do. Teaching was also one of them.
Okay.
And so then you after did OJC, it. Then you can go and do form four, form five. That's matric.
Okay. So you did the JC.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I did the JC and then I did the Form 4, Form 5 in the Eastern Cape, Ireland, Pensionville. So when I went to do teaching, the principal decided, you know what, guys, I want to promote you to do just 1 year. You can go to second year if you want. I think it was seven of us. Two of us refused and they say, we want to do one and two. So I'm one of those people that agreed that I'm going to attempt and do the second year, because if I fail, it's still okay. Mm. I will repeat after all the course of 2 years. So I was fortunate to pass. And that's when, after that, I came to Leratong Higher Primary in Orlando to come and teach there. And unfortunately, the year that we came to teach, that's the year when the...
Which year was this?
1976.
Okay.
The famous 1976.
Okay.
That's when the uprising started. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who, yeah. There was chaos.
How was that for you? See, now I'm going to ask, how was that for you, being there during that time?
You know what? We were brought up and taught by teachers who belong to the black activist organizations. Okay. So even us as teachers, we're activists. You know, I remember the teachers who used to teach us, they belonged to SASO, South African Students Organization. They belonged to BCM, Black Consciousness Movement organizations. Those are teachers that used to teach us. So we understood exactly where the kids were coming from. And we were almost on the same age, nabantwana beskolo that time, you know. So when the riots, I don't even want to call them riots, I want to call them uprisings, because they were uprising against a system that was forcing them to be taught subjects in Afrikaans. Mm. It wasn't an uprising against Afrikaans as a subject. They wanted kids to be taught subjects in Afrikaans. Mm. By who? Because even the teachers themselves have not done any subject in Afrikaans, you know? They were really trying to force it, because I remember now, when I was from Form 1 to Form 5, I did agriculture and it was called Landbou. I did Landbou for 5 years. Okay. I did Rekenkunde for 5 years. Rekenkunde, which is arithmetic. So you can imagine, if you have to do much in about history, in about maths and all that in Afrikaans, yeah, who the hell is going to teach you? Because even the very teachers, abayas, you know. Yeah. So yeah, that was the uprising. You know, it started like it was something that was going to end, because we just had rumors coming, because I was in Orlando. This thing started in Orlando West, the actual uprising. Mm. But you know, the actual strike, I remember there was a school next to us called Mtonjane. Kids used to say, now I didn't know what a sit-in is.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the time.
At the time. Mm. Those kids used to sit, go to a high band, they sit-in. They were just sitting Mtonjane. They were not going to school because they were rebelling against this thing. Then on this particular day, we're told, hey, Kwiasha, Orlando West, one child has already been shot to Hector.
On the 16th,
on the 16th, yeah. And the people, the white people who were working in the township, because Orlando, we are on the main road going towards the freeway, Epumela, Napan. They were already running out, you know, white people that are working in the township. And myself and colleagues of mine, we decided to walk, because like there was no transport, no kuti singaya lapho. So we started walking, going towards Orlando. Hey, when we get there, we find that, yo, it's burning. You know, the bottle stores are already burning. We are told there's a doctor who has just been killed by the kids because they got angered by this child who was shot there. And there was no transport in Klala Ekilani, all the way Orlando was down there. So I had to walk back home. And we thought, maybe it's something, Jay, for today. Ah, man. It went on and on and on. You know, it was not a good sight.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, Sponama Hippo, you know, these big army
trucks,
yeah, coming into the townships, shooting randomly. Whew, I don't know. From my school, we buried about two kids.
Two?
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. It was bad. Like, the whole township now was burning. The offices, they started burning cars that were coming in to deliver stuff. Anything that belonged to a white person was just burned. There were no kids at school. Struggling for transport, we'd just go to school to go and sit. And there was nothing happening except on weekends to just go and bury people that were being killed by the system that time.
I mean, how long did that last for?
I would like to say it really lasted for a long time, because remember, even up to the 80s, there were still happening sporadic uprisings here and there. It didn't just end there in 76. So we would come to school like that for almost a year. Nothing was happening. Kids were not coming to school. So one day we're just sitting with other teachers, and then there was a newspaper on the table. I was just going through the newspaper and I saw a little article there. They were looking for dancers and singers and musicians. Mm. So I did have my 25 cent in my purse.
It was a lot at the time.
Yes, that was a lot, but not quite a lot, because at least it could take me to Joburg and back by train.
Okay.
So I went to Mlamlankunzi, caught a train, went straight to that place where they were auditioning. Mm-hmm. And I remembered everything that I used to do on the stoop, Ekaya, back in Welkom. What I did there is what I was doing on the stoop. And when they told me, Uguti, they are shortlisting me. Huh? I can't be shortlisted. I'm a teacher. You know, what do you mean shortlist? Can you please tell me now, sir, because I can't keep on coming here. And then, yeah, so I was cast there and then, you know, and I go home where I was staying, because by then my parents were already in Malawi. By the way, my mother is Zulu, umawa mumzulu, she's from Escort in Ataluman Rove. My father was a Malawian. Mm. So by then, my parents had already gone to Malawi. So I was all by myself here in Joburg. I had a sister and a brother in Welkom, one sister in PE, one sister in Great Town. So Lana, I'm just by myself with, you know, close friends and relatives. Yo, when I told them that I'm going to the show, I'm going to rehearse, everyone was just against me, you know. And now I didn't know whether to go back or whether to stay teaching. But you know what? I decided, you know what? I'm going.
But what was the reason? Was it for
because showbiz is not, you don't have a stable job, you know?
Okay.
You are a freelancer.
Okay.
After you do this show, my pela, what then? Okay. That's what they were saying
so
to me.
So they were saying, stick to teaching. I'm
going to have my benefits. I'm going to next. Stay there. Okay. You are safer there.
Okay.
But in my heart, I was like, yo, we were Israeli, yo, we were a Greece. And you know how much I was earning then?
Mm-mm.
I was earning 101 rand per month. And now, here's the opportunity. Ngiyahamba number one, ngiye overseas, ngiye ngizondiza.
The 101 rand was from the teaching?
Yes, per month.
Okay.
And now, ngiyandiza, ngiye e Greece. Nase Israel and ngizohola 100 rand per week. Yo, angeke ngizwe nani so. I have said no ways I'm going. I went. Can you imagine the difference? I'm going. That I ended up going here. Yeah, no, it was a wonderful experience, you know, being out of the country. Well, it wasn't the first time. Because I had been to Malawi before, but it was the first time here that far.
Out of the continent.
You know, out of the continent. Hey, man, the apartheid, that time it was still bad.
Mm.
And I'm from this atmosphere where I have seen blood being spilled everywhere, kids being killed and everywhere. And then you go to Israel, you find that you're not discriminated against.
Mm.
At that time, there were places where we couldn't get in as black people. And you go there, you find Gutman, ungene pasini, akuna whites only. You can go to any toilet, you can eat whatever you want.
Mm.
It was such fun. And people are just happy to see us. They love our show. We are, you know, we are big, if I should put it that way. We are respected. So it was such a wonderful, wonderful experience to be in that show.
Ngati Thembi, Mama Vuso, Mam Sonto. Mamukiti, Stella Muloi. These are all characters you've played.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I made a note here. Could see. So for example, Stella Muloi was zone 14. She was that ruthless type of person, fearless, you know. Then Mamukiti, good Rhythm City was so, you know, so.
Hey.
And then Mam Sonto. I sort of noted that Mam Sonto is sort of like in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's sort of like
the Usonto utsotsi. Utsotsi mara utsotsi o utsotsi ne. But utsotsi o othanda i family yakhe and very strangely she also cares about the community. And other people and the way she cares for people is very strange because she cared for Uma Zed, Uma adopter. But wazomfundisa utsotsi. You know? But she also cares for Abanyabantu because if you can think about her, she's always letting people come and stay in her house. Abantu bangatiba banama problems nyana. She lets them stay in the house. But when it's time for her to go and do her work, then she, you know, she really has to do. She really has to do her work. Yeah.
And I mean, over the years, which character would you say resonates with you, Mam Koni, the most?
I would say Umam Kate.
Really?
I would say Umam Kate. Umam Kate was an innocent mother, straight, like peacefully. She loved her family so much. loved her children, loved her husband, and she actually really wanted to keep the family together.
Mm.
And she was dedicated to Ugutiba Batole education and anything else which they need. Abantwana bakhe. And over and above that, she also loved the community. Umamkit. She would go all out to help people, mm-hmm. you know, outside her home. And if you remember well, she even got killed for that.
Yes.
Because she was protecting that those kids who were orphans when this woman wanted to take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
She was protecting that child until she actually even got killed.
I wanted to ask your thoughts on the entertainment industry now, where it is. Because if you look back at the day, Sibonga Bohlala kwabafileyo, Puskudi is nice, and obviously there was the time then, and how it is now. What do you think of where we are now in the as a country in terms of our television and what we're producing?
I think, you know, those days, there was no money, ne? But we had so many dedicated people, people that were passionate about their craft. People were passionate about their writing. People were passionate about composing their songs, their poems. People were passionate about their acting skills or any other skill for that matter. But now lately, the way I see things, I feel like there are still people that are dedicated out there. But there are people who are just there to make a quick buck. That's what I think. That's why you still remember Abohlala kwabafileyo, Nabosikudi is nice and all that, because those were classics.
Mm.
So I just want to know ukuthi khona manje as we speak, I am trying to think ukuthi now what is it, which one I could say in 10 years time, we will still say it's a classic.
Come on. Off the record.
Gomorrah is a telenovela.
Okay,
that's that time okay. We're doing I'm a telenovela nama soap. Got the angagabi corner.
Okay.
We're just shooting ama TV what? Series nama drama.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think or na,
a drama
in
now.
3 years, in 10 years time from now, what is it that we will call a classical drama? We will see then. I don't know. Especially in our industry, our industry is plagued with a lot of people who just want to be famous. Masikhulume iqiniso. There are a lot of talented people out there. I'm not going to deny that. There are a lot of people who are so dedicated. They spend time and go to school and pay abazali babhadala school fees and what have you. They love this thing with all their heart. But there are people who just want to come in nje. Like instant coffee, mawenzi instant coffee, telemans, no sugar, this way, apuza, so read. And unfortunately, this is not how this industry is like. Well, you might be like you ungene kube njalo, but you know, it's very dangerous if you have not walked the walk. If you just come from there and go up there and you have not experienced lama steps la amanye, because Maula payana, if uhambenga ma steps, if ula payana, if uyawa, angego uwele pants, you'll fall onto the next step.
Mm.
And if you do fall, because sometimes you won't even fall, uzazenza, and say, I'm not going anywhere. But if you haven't experienced certain things in between, and you just became famous, the day you don't have a job, you'll feel like the world has crumbled. Mm. Because now we are not in papers anymore. You are not invited to gigs anymore. You are not seen anywhere anymore. That thing is gonna frustrate you because ungenele gona logang it. But if ungenele na because you love the craft, those things will come, but they will go. You'll be able to survive them.
Hmm. What was the most difficult thing you had to grasp when you were still getting into the industry as an actress without training?
You know what, to be honest with you, I don't remember anything that was difficult for me to grasp, because I was taught, I was taught by a woman called Toby Kushlik. She was very, very strict. Gupogian Best, she was the director and the producer. She taught us that, number one, you have to be disciplined. And if you are disciplined, it means you dedicate yourself to your work. You read your script. You learn your lines. You come to work on time. You respect your co-workers. Mm. If you have to do your research, you do your research. And I'm telling you, she was very, very strict, that woman. So that is why I'm saying, honestly speaking, from my side, I don't remember having any problem grasping anything. Okay. Because I drank as much as I could from her and other people that came after her. Even from my co-workers that I found in the industry, my senior actors that I found, Bobra Day, David Pedwe, Abu Siso Pimkena, and many others, you know? Yeah. We're that kind of generation which, when advised by our seniors, people who came before us, we would listen.
Right, in a moment.
Because I need to sit.
We know our rights.
Nipuma ema vasiti. So siasaba because as fundanga abo method 18 nabo what nikota abantu lapane singabazi. So tina we just learned. So siasaba nokusho ukuthi hey mara.
The reason I'm enjoying this, is because I wrote two words and I was going to say this is what people have termed you as, prolific and a doyen. That's what people refer to you as.
Really?
Prolific, wow. And a doyen.
I'm going to cry.
So I was going to ask for your comment on that. I mean, when you hear such words used to describe you, I mean.
No, it makes one feel good, you know. And because people are the biggest observers. They are the ones who know me. They are the ones who see me. They are the ones who listen to me. And they have observed me in the past 45 years that I've been in the public space. So if they say that, you know, I receive it with respect. And I do not even want it to go to my head. That's why I receive it with respect and appreciation. And, you know, another question that I normally get, abantu batikimi, Mamkoni, how would you like to be remembered? And I normally say to them, you know what, I don't think I have affected people the same way. The same way engihlangane nawe, ngixoxa nawe, it's not the same way that I met you and I, you know, related to you. So mina, I would like to leave that to the people. Omunye nomunye bangikhumbule ngendlela yakhe. Angeke ngithe ngifuna bangikhumbule as this person who did what. No. Because I know I have not been the same person for everyone. So everybody unali experience ya hai kanna. So omulo omong ang khupole katsela eye na ang experience ling kayo.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Winning Women. Let us know your thoughts on our social media or visit citypress.co.za for news and analysis.